ज्ञानदिवरन्तस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन बुद्धये स्वयं
and all the time I come in and polished the cage over and over again until it was beautiful and more beautiful and shiny. And I could even hang things on it. And I even liked the bird inside. It sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? But then the bird's inside with a nice cage and he's saying, hungry, hungry, hungry. But I'm not feeding the bird. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you have to feed the bird. You have to feed the soul. Jyotir means this. Aim is ignorant. Yamta sukho karamasta kantar jyotir eva means when one's aim is inward, looking within, he discovers so many things going deep within. It's like in the ocean. There's so many treasures and undiscovered things within the ocean. In fact, I heard oceanologists say that practically after so many years of studying the ocean, they've only cataloged about 10% of the life that's in the ocean. How they know that, I have no idea. But it just means that there are a lot of unknown things, even in material nature, the things that are around us. But the most undiscovered or overlooked is the inner space and the soul. It's not covered in university classes. Psychology is there, but not much about the inner self, about the soul. So happiness comes by feeding the bird. And there are many different ideas about how to do that, about how to become happy. But the happiness, obviously, that I search for in this world, in outward pleasure, that is compared to a mirage in the desert. Anybody here seen a mirage? Milan, where did you see it? Where? In which part of India? Rajasthan. A lot of desert up there. And what did it look like? What kind of water? Like a lake. I saw it in California. I'm from California. And there are deserts also. There's one called Death Valley. I took a vacation there with my parents once. Really nice place to go for. We were driving across the Death Valley. And my brother and I were in the back seat. It was a Volvo station wagon. We were just kids, but we were looking out the window and we saw a lake. And we pointed it out to our parents who were in the front seat, and they said, no, that's not a lake. And we said, no, no, that's a lake. And they said, no lake. And we said, lake. They said, no lake. And after arguing for about 10 minutes, we realized that we weren't getting any closer. No matter how far we drove, the lake was still far away. It still bothered us, though, because it looked exactly like water. So does the apparent promise of happiness in this world. Prahlada Maharaj, one of the great saints of the Vaishnava culture, speaks in the Bhagavatam about this. He calls it Mrigachashi Rupa. It's the kind of thing that a deer would run after, thinking there's water. The deer runs and runs. Kutra Shisha Shruti Sukha Mrigachashi Rupa. He said that there's a lot of happiness that you hear about in this world, but you don't actually get it. Did you hear about it? You heard something? It's advertised everywhere that you might get it here, you might get it there, or definitely you'll get it here. If you drink this, you take that. There was an advertisement for tequila I saw. You know what tequila is? It's an alcoholic beverage. Never ingest anything that you can ignite. Fire. Anyway, it was on the 101 freeway near our house in San Francisco. And it was a big sign. I could see it from far away, but I couldn't tell what it was until I got close, because all I could see was a big horseshoe. In America, horseshoe means good luck. And that was part of the brand. And they were advertising, obviously, that if you drank this liquid, then you would become lucky. But when you drink alcohol, you become intoxicated and you lose your ability to make good decisions. And human life is very precious. Actually, every minute is precious. So precious that you can't buy even a second of it back, even if you're very wealthy. You have millions of dollars, and you offer to buy back 1 second of time of your life for millions of dollars, you won't be able to do it. You can't purchase it. So this happiness that's advertised, called Shruti Sukham, it's like a mirage. It is a mirage. And it appears just like you should be able to get something. And you hear about it, but no one actually ever gets it. They keep advancing towards it. So sometimes people realize that and then they stop running for the water. And they stay in one place. They say this is fake water, and we won't go to the fake water anymore, therefore we'll stand still, we won't run. But how long can you stand still? So in the Sanskrit language there are karmis. That means someone who works hard to try to find the happiness in this world, to make some arrangement to make happiness. And then there's a, what's called a gyani, or someone who's very intelligent and figures out that the water they're looking at, the happiness they're pursuing, is not really going to be there. That it's not there. And as they advance, they're not going to get it, so they stop running. But they don't ever actually get the water. So the real question is, how to get the water? How to actually satisfy the soul? And as I said, the process is very simple, because we're easily satisfied if we have the right food and we put it in the right place. So this process of chanting the names of the Supreme immediately feeds the soul. There's no need to wait, but we can experience, we can drink that water right away and experience it. Fulfilling from within. Just by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Yesterday when we went to a Kensington Market, we had a concert there, and people would come by and listen to the chanting and the music, and they would stop and sway to the music and also sing along and feel very happy. And you could feel the atmosphere change because the devotees there were chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and they all looked very happy and blissful, and people noticed that. So this is something that anyone can do at any time in any place to experience real pleasure, to drink real water, spiritual water, by singing the names of the Divine. So this was a process that was brought by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spread all over the world by the founder of this movement, the Hare Krishna movement. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And tonight, the devotees have given us these books. These are a biography of the life of Srila Prabhupada, another name for A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, respectful title. And they tell about his life and how single-handedly he came to America with no resources, no money, and no connections. And just by chanting Hare Krishna, he started a worldwide movement. People became attracted. Really, he came to New York, first Boston Harbor, his ship landed. It was a cargo ship that he begged passage on. in an advanced age, and he had two heart attacks on his way to America. It was very hard traveling in the water, seasickness and everything, but he was eager to share this gift, this simple gift of the process for happiness, which is to see inside, feed the bird, and not just polish the cage. So he went to a park in New York City called Thompson Square Park. It's still there, and the original tree that he sat under is there. And he had a pair of these hand symbols, and he sat there and he chanted this mantra. Man means mind, and tra means to deliver. Prayate. So the mind is thinking of all kinds of ways to become happy. And usually it comes up with the idea of just polishing the cage. But the mantra helps to deliver the mind and go right to the source of our very happiness, which is inside ourselves. So he sat there under the tree in Thompson Square Park, and he chanted every day. And soon people came and listened to the mantra. And then some of them began dancing. And others got curious, and they came over, and they also started watching and then dancing. And then people wanted to know what it was that he was singing. Because it wasn't an ordinary sound. It was making them sing and dance. In fact, 500 years ago, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who started the Hare Krishna movement in India, received this mantra from his spiritual teacher, Ishvara Puri. He took sacred initiation into the chanting of the names of God. Took the mantra as a gift. And then after chanting it for some time, he came back to his spiritual master and asked him, what kind of mantra did you give me? He said, because it's driving me crazy. Whenever I sing this mantra, sometimes I cry, and sometimes I laugh, and sometimes I roll on the ground in feelings of happiness. So he said, what is it that you gave me? What kind of mantra? And his spiritual teacher told him that this is the goal of life, to experience this kind of happiness. And his spiritual teacher was very happy that he was experiencing these things. So based on what had happened to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how he had given the mantra to many people all over India, and they experienced the same thing, the founder of our movement, understanding that there was power in this mantra, he had seen it and he experienced it for himself. He knew that if he just made it available to people, that they'd experience it for themselves, and that something miraculous would happen. He didn't know what it would be. Nor do we, when we chant it. We can't imagine what we'll do. But the power is in the mantra, and it must be tasted. You have to taste it for yourself. So, this book tells all about how the Hare Krishna movement expanded all over the world, just by chanting this mantra. It's kind of like a zip file. Any of you here have a computer? If you have a computer, raise your hand. I just want to see how many. I'm serious. If you have a computer, raise your hand. Well, you know what a zip file is, right? Yeah, it's like a zip file. If you just, it's a tiny little image on the screen, and you click on it, and then it can open up so much information. So the mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's called the Maha Mantra. There are many mantras in the world that do wonderful, miraculous things, but they're all contained within this one mantra, the Maha Mantra. Do you believe me? Do you believe me?
Yes!
So, the way you access that is you just repeat the mantra. So, when you repeat the mantra, you're engaging your tongue and your ears. And in yoga, this is real yoga, you start by controlling the tongue. Vedas say, Atashri Krishna Nama, Anitna Pahe Prayanare, In the Sanskrit languages, this verse is about this highest kind of yoga, which says that you can start the yoga practice with your tongue. That's the first place that you can concentrate. And then the tongue is like the gateway to the rest of the body. Isn't that practical? It's very practical. Because there's too much information in the world. If you go to buy one tube of toothpaste, you have to decide between 20 different brands and different kinds, and whether you want whitening toothpaste or, you know, desensitizing toothpaste. It's very confusing, for me anyway. That's just the beginning of it all. If you want insurance, you got to decide on all kinds of products and everything. So we want simple, right? Simple. Simple access to pleasure, inner happiness. So this is simple. Just use the tongue, this is yoga, use your tongue and try a mantra and apply it and think of it like a zip file and think of it like you're feeding the bird in the cage. That bird has a lot of potential. It's just not being given a chance, that's all. But feed the bird. And then everything else adjusts itself outwardly. Now that's a good, there's so many things advertised, and we just know that they're not going to work anyway, but we try. But this is passed down through centuries, through millennia, this process of yoga, how to actually access real happiness. So it's of the greatest value, such great value. And it's being given away free. You just have to try it. So we use the tongue. We say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
And that mantra brings all the energies, all the stimulated energies forth, and wakes up our original consciousness, which is full of bliss and full of knowledge and full of happiness. So you can gather anywhere or not gather. You can do this by yourself and practice chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and experience it for yourself. And it's greatly enhanced also if you get a little bit of knowledge. Read the Bhagavad Gita, and the book that I've been asked to present to you tonight is a book of the month. This Lilamrita is called the Lilamrita. Lila means like activities or pastimes, and Amrita means pleasure, happiness. And so these are the activities of Srila Prabhupada as he went all over the world teaching people the Maha Mantra and what happened, the miraculous effects of that, of the Hare Krishna movement. So I recommend you read this. Take a set with you. There's only a few left. I think they ordered many, many sets and they're almost all gone. They haven't shipped them all the way to India, so I think these are the last of them. So if you want them tonight, I would take them home. They're not available in America or Canada anymore. We have to ship them from India, where they're printed in Bombay. And do any of you have any questions? We have time for one question. Yes, what is your name? Come bring your microphone. Welcome. Decided it would be a good idea to sneak some of these books into Russia. They printed some books in Russian. And at the time, they had to smuggle them in the country because it was very dangerous to take in spiritual books to Russia. They weren't allowed, so they had to smuggle them. So they would secretly bring them in, and they could only bring in 5 books at a time. But those 5 books, people were so hungry for spiritual knowledge, they would read the books, they would pass them on to more and more people. Finally, there was a big breakthrough because one of the devotees had some connection in the government, and they got a big truck of books smuggled into the country, and then they distributed it, and it started a revolution there. Because when people read this knowledge and figure out that they can access this happiness for themselves, it's all within, they take a new view in life. That's why oftentimes first things government do with it, if they're trying to control people, is burn all the books. So get books. Well, we have the opportunity. I was in China in April, and you can't take it for granted that you have freedom to actually practice spiritual life, because there it's very difficult. You have to really sneak around and go undercover there in order to talk about Krishna consciousness. But people are very eager to hear about it. So, can we find out? What time is it now? Oh, good. We have 3 minutes. 3 minutes are very valuable. Okay, yes. And your name? Microphone.
My name is Jeshwan.
Jeshwan. Nice to meet you.
So, the question I have is with respect to chanting the name. Somewhere in the scriptures it said that the chanting the name of Rama has 1,000 times more effect compared to Vishnu. So Rama is equivalent to chanting 1,000 times Vishnu. And similarly, Vishnu has 1,000 names. We call them Vishnu Sahasranama. So is it okay to chant any of the other 1,000 names of Vishnu or Krishna? Like Ishvara, for example.
Yes, that's fine. God has many names. Nam Nam Akari Bahula Nijasara Shaktis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the names of God are unlimited. Allah, Jehovah, Krishna, Vishnu, and your Vishnu Sahasranam. Yes, yes, Smaranamakaina, Janma Samsaravam Dana, Muchite, Namastasmay, Vishnu, Hey, Prabhu, Vishnu, Hey, you know this? Namaha Samsahutana, Akipikaya Kukrite, Nekaruparupaya, Vishnu, Hey, Prabhu, Vishnu, Hey, Om Vishnu, 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 I look forward to meeting you all individually at some point.